Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good evening. God bless you. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, DTW Ministry. My God, I missed you guys. Been a full month, had issues coming back, couldn't speak the last time it was time for our broadcast, but now God has brought us back in the full swing of things, and we're rejoicing because God is always good. Hallelujah. Now, God is not just a good God. God is good. Let's go to the throne. God, we do thank you and we bless you. Hallelujah. For this ministry of reconciliation. God, you've given us the ministry to reconcile the world through us, through you, in us, God, back to yourself. And we thank you that you've enabled us to be able ministers of the gospel. We pray, God, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, that someone that needs to hear from you, that someone that needs to hear the gospel, that someone that's looking, that's crying out to you may hear your voice and be drawn ever closer to you. In the name of Jesus, save tonight, heal tonight, and deliver. In the name of Jesus, as the words go forth, we thank you that they will not return to you void, but they'll accomplish, hallelujah, what you sent it out to do and will prosper in that thing that you sent it. Satan, the Lord rebukes you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. We pray, God, that every ear of every hearer, God, that you would saturate, that you would give us ears to hear. We bind every hindering spirit, every distraction, in the name of Jesus, as we sit in our tent doors tonight, as you speak to us through these lips of clay, in Jesus' name, amen. I know y'all, this guy is crazy, the ministry of dentistry. I was going to call it, ouch, I went to the dentist, but as I thought about it, and I was sitting there, I thought about what the dentist does, and to speak about a dentist, you know, dentist, dentistry, medicine, someone who practices the medical field of dental hygiene, or a doctor, a physician, someone who practices medicine, because we are their test subjects. There are certain things that dentists and doctors and surgeons know because of knowledge, but there are a lot of things that they explore as they go into your mouth, as they go into your teeth, as they go into your body, things that they find and that they catalog for the next time. They go in and they say, yeah, we're going to remove the gallbladder, or we're going to remove a molar, or we're going to do something in the body. And we have this amount of knowledge, but it's almost always exploratory, because with each person's body, although the human anatomy is basically the same, you never know what you're going to get once you open a person up. Working at the gas company, it's kind of evident, as we have professionals that go in and out of the ground. You can go all throughout the city of Philadelphia and see men, women digging holes in the ground. And you would think that these things are cataloged, where it tells you on Broad Street, on the 1400 aboard on the south side, the pipe is 12 inches, the pipe is 30 inches, the pipe is 40 feet deep. The pipe is wherever it is, and this is what it's doing, and this is the direction and the flow of gas. But it's not always cataloged, because some of these pipes, some of these things that are in the infrastructure of the city have been in the ground for over 50 years. So the schematics of whereabouts the gas lies and what it's covered with and what type of pipe that it's flowing through is not always cataloged. And we're finding that as they're trying to renew the pipe,
pipe system throughout the city of Philadelphia that sometimes they don't know what they get until they start digging. My God, there's a revelation right there. Sometimes in this walk, in this life as a Christian, you don't know what you're made of. You don't know what's on the inside until you start digging in the Word of God, until you start digging into your own life in retrospect, in prayer, in pressing forward. You don't begin to see what you were really made of. What kind of sin, what kind of bondage was I really in? Did I really recognize what was working on the inside of me? I didn't know that I had this much hatred. I didn't know I had this much variance, this much division, this much hypocritical nature. I didn't know I had this much in me until I started to dig. My God, hallelujah. And here is the revelation and the ministry of dentistry. In 1 John, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And this is the scripture I'm going to tie into this whole thing of dental decay and prevention and what dentists have to do to eradicate, remove, and repair a damaged tooth. And we're praying that it gives you a revelation also and ministers to your spirit. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, listen, is not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The part that really, when you look at the anatomy of the tooth, there are several parts. I only wrote a few down, but the first part, the part that shows on your tooth when you smile, your molars, your canines, your incisors, the different teeth that are in your mouth, the top that shows above your gum line, can you guess what it's called? It's called the crown. I thought of what I thought about that when I wrote down what part of the tooth and the anatomy of the tooth. When I wrote down the crown, I wrote down and thought of the Game of Thrones. And as I thought, heavy is the head that wears the crown, the thought in my mind as the Christian, looking at the crown of man, who's king or who wears the crown in your spirit? That's the question for the Christian. That's the question for the child of God. That's the question for you that are out in the listening audience. Who wears the crown in your life? Who wears the crown in your spirit? The part of the tooth that shows is the crown. Now, I'm going to read through the parts of, and the anatomy of the tooth, but I just wanted to point out that portion of the crown because that's the part that shows the most. That's the part that's above the gum line. That's the part of the tooth that we see. Although it's only a third of the tooth, it's the part that shows. It's the part that lights up your smile, whether you have a gap in your teeth, whether you have teeth missing, whether you have damaged teeth. It's the crown. My God, this is some good stuff. It's the crown of the tooth that people see. In the life of the Christian, who wears the crown in your life is what people or who people see. Does Christ wear the crown in your life, or do you and I, are we heads, are we the ones that wear the crown in our lives, or is Christ crowned king in your life? When we look at the dentin, which is the material that makes up the inner tooth below the gum line, the crown and the tooth is made and covered with enamel, a hard substance that makes the teeth and protects the tooth and the tooth dentin and the soft tissue that's inside the tooth from harm, from injury, some damage. So the enamel covers the tooth because the tooth itself is not hard. The tooth itself is soft. The tooth inside is filled with pulp and different blood vessels. There's a blood vessel that runs through the root of the tooth that connects into your jawbone, and the blood vessel that feeds and nurtures the tooth, that the tooth grows and the tooth stays healthy. This is why we have to do preventive maintenance on teeth because of, you know, diet, because of different things, because of environment, because of decay, because of aging. The tooth should stay healthy if we do the things that are necessary to keep it healthy. But let me read the rest of this. So the crown is the portion that we see. Then the inside of the tooth is called the dentin. Then inside of that dentin runs a root or accessory canal that contains pulp tissue and contains the dental pulp in the pulp chamber where the root or the supportive ligaments are vested or implanted into below the gum line into your jawbone. So as I look and we look at the root into the jawbone where the nerves and the blood vessels and all the connective tissue are from the tooth, we see that the tooth has life. The tooth is supplied with blood through your heart, through your central nervous system, through the things that even the rest of your body is nurtured with. As we look at the same part as the Christian, decay, when we talk about moving into decay, decay is removed by opening a hole in the crown. There is a submission that the dentist, well, we know the dentist goes and gives us the Novocaine or the nitrous oxide or whatever, sleeping, the laughing gas or whatever he gives to numb the area that he's about to work on. But the decay is removed by placing an opening in the crown of the tooth. When we as Christians recognize that there is something wrong in our lives, we have to go to the Word of God. We have to go to the Spirit of God for, I would say, not reconciliation, but a repair, because we can't do this on our own. We can't fix ourselves. As some medicate themselves, some find different vices and different things to as opiates to suppress the feeling or to cover the damage. But if we want repair, we have to go see the professional. We have to go see the dentist. We have to turn our lives over to the Spirit of God that he may do the inside work that we can't do from the outside. You know the song, Something on the Inside. Moving on the outside, bringing about a change in my life. We're trying to change our lives from the outside in, but the correct order is to change our lives from the inside out. Because as we know, all of us have sinned. All have sinned. And none are righteous. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And as we read in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Why? Because we are all sinners. Our nature is to sin. Our nature is to do wrong. So there is there is a need for correction. There is a need for righteousness. There is a need for removal of the decay that can only be done by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So when I went to the dentist, and this guy was drilling in my mouth, I was like, oh, my goodness. He was drilling in my, I thought he was trying to reach my brain. It felt like he was trying to go so deep. But he had to remove every spot. He had instruments and magnifying glass and special glasses that they do and suction that comes out that sucks the blood and the water and the tooth that's being drilled away and all this junk out of the way that he can see clearly, because what he's trying to see is when he can't see any more decay. He wants to dig until he can't see any more decay. Herein is revelation number two that the Lord gave me, that the washing of the water by the word, where he tries and the Holy Spirit is attempting to cleanse us by trials, by the various things that we go through, through testing, through various circumstances, until we know that he's trying to see himself. He's not like the dentist just removing decay. The dentist is not looking for himself, but he's looking for what his expertise, he's looking for what his training told him, that once this is done, you can now begin to do repair work. It is necessary that you get all the decay, because the decay grows. The decay takes a life of its own, because not only is the surface of the tooth damaged, but it's possible that the damage and the decay and the infection is in the area of the soft tissue. Now, once the soft tissue and the bloodline is damaged in your tooth, it all has to be removed, or the damage will come back. That's why you get a cavity on top of a cavity. That's why you go and you get a cavity fixed. I know some people don't know what I'm talking about, because your teeth and your mouth are great. But herein, you can still see the need for Christ to continue to do a work on the inside of your life, because we know we're not perfect. We don't all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that without him, we're nothing. We know without him, we would fail. We know without him, our life, even as the song goes, is like a ship without a sail. So when I thought about this topic, the ministry of dentistry, I continue to think of the things that God had and is and will continue to remove from my life. And it's not like I'm fighting against, like I used to, sin. God has put me in a place where I understand who I am. I understand that without him, I cannot do what I'm doing. I understand that without the Holy Spirit in my life, that I am who I am. But I do also understand, with the Holy Spirit in my life, that I'm more than a conqueror. That if I give my day over to God, that if I seek him first, that the victory that I'm looking for is already mine. I just have to, for the day, walk in it. I'm not worrying about tomorrow, because when tomorrow comes, I'm going to present myself to God for tomorrow. But right now, I'm going to present myself to God for today. I think sometimes, and my grandfather used to say this, well, you can only live for right now. Right now. Forget what caused the decay. Forget, you know, the candy that you ate. Forget the lack of preventive maintenance that we've done on our teeth or on our bodies, or why we're falling apart as we get older. Forget all of the reasons on how you got there. And let's focus on the repair. You might not have a dentist. I know my dentist by name. He knows me when I call. I don't know, he might have caller ID, but when I call, he say, Mr. Williams, how you doing? So he knows me by voice. I would like to think he knows me by voice, and that's because I frequent him. I go at least twice a year. But at the same time, the decay, the damage that has been in my mouth has been for years of neglect. You know, sometimes when you don't have insurance, when you don't have a job that pays you, you neglect something. And dentistry and seeing my dentist regularly was one of the things that suffered when I didn't have insurance. As a Christian, we have assurance. And when we don't have assurance, we neglect some things in our lives, in our souls, in our spirit, that puts us in a place of decay, my God, that puts us in a place that sometimes the only thing the dentist can do is remove the tooth. And at all costs, the dentist does not want to remove your tooth. They want to repair it, because as long as you have teeth, he has a job.
Oh, my God. This is crazy. As long as he has a tooth to work with, he has a job. So the dentist does not want to pull your teeth out.
He wants to repair them and teach you how to take care of them. So you can, when you frequent him, it would only be for preventive maintenance and your yearly annual checkup. Once the decay is removed, I'm going to go through these notes that I wrote down here. Once the decay is removed and the pulp chamber is cleaned out, what the dentist, you might hear and feel, he wonder why he ain't get the daggone cavity out yet. What he does is he cleans out and hollows out the pulp chamber. He takes out all of the soft tissue out of the middle of your tooth and now shapes it with his drill and his drilling instruments so that he can handle the inside of the tooth better. So he opens the canals up wider that he can go in and out, that the root canals can go in and out without them having to do further drilling. If the infection, sometimes they find when you have a real bad tooth, that the infection has now gotten into not just your tooth, but your gum. And what they do now, because you can't hold the medicine in your mouth, they put the medicine into your tooth that it would dissolve into your gum line, and they cap the tooth and let the medication take its effect temporarily for a period of time until you come back, that the medicine, you don't have to hold it in your mouth because you can't hold that medicine that long in your mouth. So as I sat here highly medicated by the dentist, I thought about how God cleanses and how, because sin is in us. Once I got delivered, I thought that that was the end of it. Once I got healed, I thought that that was the end of it. Once these things I overcame, I didn't know that that was just the beginning of the fight. I didn't know that there was a maintenance of the level that God has placed us in. And I know a lot of you may have gotten disillusioned because you see that things revisit you. You see that things come back. The lust you once had, the anger you once had, you know, it doesn't stay away. It doesn't rise up the way it used to, but you see that it does come up. And you're like, I'm like, what in the world is that? It's because sin is in us. So unless we keep our bodies under, as Paul said, I keep my body under, lest after I've done the will of God, after I've done everything right, after I've preached that, after I've taught, after I've sang, after I've moved in the power of God, after we've done all these things, if I don't keep myself at the level that God has me, pushing further, pushing higher, pushing harder, it seems that we begin to lose ground. It seems that we begin to fall backward. But it's not that. It's because your nature goes back to where it's at. So we have to maintain, you have to maintain a level of spirituality that God is calling you to. As the dentist dug in my tooth, all I could think of, when will be the last time I'm coming to this guy? Because I hate going to the dentist. It's a necessary evil, but it should only be painful, and it's only painful when we have not done something right. Now, I know now sometimes you fall, somebody threw a rock, something happened and broke your tooth or whatever happened that caused your tooth to break. Those things happen. But other than that, if we're doing it, we're flossing, if we're brushing, we should have our teeth for our entire life. We should have our teeth for our entire life. But because of decay, because of a lack of personal, I don't want to say personal hygiene, I'll say preventive maintenance on our teeth. As our teeth is, as life is, as preventive maintenance is, so it is in the spirit. I used to hate this saying when people used to ask me, told them I was struggling with this and I was struggling with that. They would say, how much you praying? How much are you fasting? But I'm finding that those are my mantras. Those are the things that keep me, because truly, if you do not pray, you do not stay. You don't stay in the place that God is calling you to. And when you do pray and you begin to fast and you begin to seek the face of God, you begin to recognize the necessity to continue to pray and to add to your prayer, to add to the time, to add to the intensity, because God is ever moving forward and he wants and desires for us to grow up in him. The same thing we used to eat. There's some things I used to eat crazy when I was a kid. You know, you can eat a hot dog, turn around, eat a piece of steak, turn around, eat some popcorn, eat some ice cream, eat pickles, and just keep getting up, drink some soda behind, no problem, drink some milk, whatever. You turn around, eat cookies. Try to do that now after 50. Try to do that now and see how your body reacts. Because some things that we used to do when we were younger, we can no longer do, because our body doesn't process that stuff. It doesn't burn it off the way that it does. It doesn't digest it the way that it does. It'll say, what are you doing? And you'll find out when you're trying to get rid of it later that evening. So as I laid in that chair, and the thing that really, when I saw that God was talking to me sitting in the chair, was the conformity and the comfort level that they put you in when they know they're about to drill in your mouth. My goodness. The chair is contoured for your comfort. The chair raises, it bends back, it lifts your legs up. It puts you in a posture of relaxation. Because what you're about to go through, is going to be intense. So what God tries to do is tries to, I don't want to say appease us, but he tries to inform us and puts us at ease in his word to let us know trials are going to come. And the Bible says this, arm yourselves. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Arm yourselves. That means get your gear on. That means as a soldier, get ready to be attacked. That means as a child of God, things are going to come against you that you must stand and listen, withstand. You don't just stand, you have to withstand. As this guy dug in my mouth, all these things came to my mind. I said, this is a ministry, because he's removing every part of sin. He's removing every part that offends. He's removing every part that's infected. He's removing every part that's decayed. He's removing every part that can come back. Why? That he may bring and restore my tooth back to health. My God. And that's all God is trying to do. Reconciling us, restoring us back to our place before the fall, with Adam being our first father. But now we have a second Adam, and his name, my God, is Jesus. And after 42 generations, came, lived, and died a vicarious death. Came and died as a substitute lamb. Came and died fully God and fully man, that you and I might have a right to inherit the kingdom of heaven. R.W. Shambach said it this way, that the Son of God became the Son of Man, that we, the children of men, might become the children of God. God purposed before the foundation of the world that sin would be eradicated by the slain lamb, by his son. The Bible says, he that did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And the Bible tells us that he's given us already all things that pertain to life and godliness, not only in this world, but also in that world which is to come. My God, as he dug in my mouth, I thought about the plan of salvation, how God came in to clean out, how God came in to restore, how God came in to renew, to refill, to reconcile, to replenish, to refurbish our lives that was torn and darkened in sin. He said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I should make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I will make them as lamb's wool. Come now. As he looked and finished my tooth and he put in a filling to replace the soft pulp, they did a root canal where as deep as my pulp lines and my root chamber went into my jawbone, they put these pieces of wax substance, the dentin, artificial, that goes into under your gum line, into the root of your tooth, to act as a replacement, to strengthen the hold of your tooth into your bone. And he fills your tooth with, and then after he fills the tooth, he then replaces your crown, my God, with a cap. And then he gets you to bite down on a piece of dye sheet. And he asks you, how does it feel? And usually, because the cap is not the same size, or it's uneven and it'll show blue all over the tooth. And what he does then is take another drill and begin to file that tooth down. And he says, bite down again. And he continues to do that until he reshapes your tooth into the shape that it was before, where it fits perfectly into the tooth that's over top of it or under it, that completes the bite. My goodness. Look at how God is forming us into and conforming us into his own image. You're saying, well, why do I keep biting? Why do I keep going through doing the same thing? He's conforming you. He's shaving off the rough edges of our lives, the rough edges of our character, forming us until we fit, my God, until we fit into our position, until we fit properly in the body, until we fit, my God, where we're placed. There was a saying I got out of a dollar store. Dollar store. I go to the dollar store often. But there was a saying that was on one of these refrigerator magnets. And it just simply said, bloom where you're planted. And I don't want to, and I'm not, matter of fact, I'm not going to start talking about the ills and the things that I think are wrong. But I believe that as a body, that there's a lot that we have to learn from just looking at our natural body to understand when the Bible says that we are the body of Christ, that we have to learn there's a lot of things we have to learn on how we fit. On even sitting in the dentist's office, when I went into the dentist's office, there is a certain smell when you go into the dentist's office. I don't know if it's breath. I don't know if it's fluoride. I don't know what it is, but every time I go into a dentist's office, they all have the same smell. And when I thought about the smell of the dentist's office, I thought about the smearing, the rubbing in of the fragrance of God, the anointing, and the necessity of the anointing on our lives. I could go in a dentist's office blindfolded, and I know I'm in a dentist's office because of the smell. Because when I came in, the aroma was familiar. Though our positions are different, though our titles and our church affiliations, church denominations are different, though our order of services and the way we at times worship, praise, even preach is different, there is something that the world should recognize that's the same about us. My God, there's something that the world should recognize when they come in the presence of a Christian, when they come into the presence of someone who had spent time with God. There's something different. How do we smell to God? I know I often, when I pray, God, forgive me, that our prayer may reach you as a sweet-smelling savor in your nostril. When I think about the smell of the dentist's office, I think about the smearing of the anointing of God, the smearing of the oil of God, the smearing of the presence of God into the life of the believer. That when we come into the presence of God and when people come into our presence, Pastor Brown said that our smearing, that our ministry, that our anointing would be irresistible, undeniable, and unavoidable. They should know we're saved just because of the smell. Have you smelled yourself lately? Maybe you're saying, what in the world is this guy talking about? I'm still talking about teeth. I'm still talking about teeth. Teeth have a way to let you know something is wrong. I didn't have any pain. I didn't have any type of pain. No, didn't feel anything loose in my mouth, nothing. And I was eating a piece of steak, and when I went to chew on one side of my mouth, pain, pow. I'm like, what the, whoa. And I'm like, as soon as I feel pain, it's time to go to the doctor. It's time to go to the dentist. It's time to go to the hospital. It's time to go to the emergency. It's time to go someplace. But something ain't right. And I was like, what is that? And come to find out, I had some serious issue with this tooth that I got worked on. But up, and I asked them, I said, well, why didn't it, like, gradual? I mean, I didn't feel anything until I actually bit on it while I was eating, and the pain started. He said, well, he don't know why that happened, but looking at the level of trouble that we're having with this tooth, it's a wonder why you haven't come earlier. Herein is the third revelation. Some of our lives, we know, we see, we feel, we hear, we smell the pain. We experience every day of our lives. We even ask God how long. We even ask God why. We even ask God questions
about our lives. And we know even in those questions, even in those prayers, we know that our lives are shabby. We know that our lives are sometimes outright just decayed. We feel it in our hearts. But not being dentists, not being physicians, not being a doctor, not being equipped, we feel helpless to do anything to remove the decay. Let me tell you tonight that Jesus is the decay remover, that Jesus is the root canal specialist, that Jesus is the endodontist, that Jesus is the dentist, that Jesus is the physician that you need. My God, there is someone who can remove all your decay. I hear him say, come now, let us reason together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all ye that are decayed, hallelujah, and I will give you rest. Then it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Listen, he asked me to take his yoke and learn. And we think learning is a hard thing. Learn of me. Then he turns around and gives us the answer. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Then he gives you the heart. What I'm going to learn? Learn of you, God. What you going to teach me? I'm meek and lowly at heart. You shall find rest to your soul. The opiates that we use to numb our lives, to numb our circumstances, the things we use as crutches, the things we use to pacify and deaden the pain, might stop the pain, but it doesn't remove the decay. There's only one that can remove the decay. And he says, though they be as scarlet, he shall make them white as snow. The Savior Jesus is calling you tonight. Yeah, I know I jumped around talking about physicians, talking about teeth, but I believe there was enough for those who had ears to hear. Just as a recap, who wears the crown in your life? For whoever wears the crown is who they are going to see. Make sure, child of God, that Christ is wearing the crown in your life. That we go through things in our lives to remove the decay that's in our lives. Sometimes we go through not even for our good, but for someone who needs to see a tangible witness. Sometimes we go through something that someone else might have gone through, but God knew they couldn't bear it. I know it seems like it's not fair, but we're a body. We're a body. And all things work together for the good to them who love God. Say the whole scripture. All things don't just work together. All things work together for the good of them who love God. For those who are the called according to his purpose. Maybe you feel you're called tonight. You feel that God is calling you even now. You feel that you understand that you need the decay of your life removed. You understood when you heard me say that Jesus is the decay remover. Jesus is the restorer, and you want to meet this Jesus. You've heard about him. Maybe you haven't heard about him, but you know that your life needs repair. If that's you, or maybe you're saying, well, you know, I consider myself a Christian, but there's some things in my life I got to admit that I definitely need repentance from. And that's you, and you just want to rededicate your life right now tonight. I'm going to ask that you repeat this prayer with me. It's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of salvation. It's a prayer of acknowledgement. It's a prayer that Christ, the Lord of glory, may come into your heart, that you may be born again, that he may save you and save your life from decay and restore you, reconcile you to himself. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to ask that you repeat after me. Say it and mean it. And at the end of our prayer, our online pastor or engineer technician is going to come on the line and give you some further information and instruction, make a few announcements, and then we'll come back on with last remarks and the benediction. So repeat after me. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin and wash me and make me clean on the inside. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, fill my life and be Lord and Master of my life. I give you the crown of my life. Have your way in my life. I pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. If you said what you meant and meant what you said, God has done what you've asked. Like I said, in a minute, someone is going to come and give you further instruction for communication and correspondence with Purpose Kingdom Network. But let me pray for you. God and Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are the decay remover. God, that you are the health restorer. God, that you are, my God, hallelujah, the reconciler of broken things, God. And we thank you, God, even as the dentist, God, you didn't pull to throw any of us out, God, but you are doing, and you're doing what you're doing in our lives, that you may restore to us a healthy tooth, a healthy spirit, a healthy heart, a healthy mind, that you may restore us, God, that we may have a healthy life in your presence, not just physical life, but Zoe life, power life. And we thank you for that life you give to us more abundantly. I pray for each and every man and woman, boy and girl, that repeated that prayer with me, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would strengthen them now. God, with the restoration that they're looking for, with the strength that they're looking for, God. For you say that we call on you, we shall be saved, and that he that cometh unto you, you shall in no wise cast out. So we thank you that you're elevating them now. We thank you that you're strengthening them now. We thank you that you're restoring them, God. Thank you, my God, that you're going to stand up in them. Hallelujah. Use them to your glory. I bind the enemy that may come against them to snatch the word out of their heart, God. Thank you, God, that that word, God, that the understanding of your word, God, that saturated their heart has fallen on good ground, and that it will bring forth fruit to your glory, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Amen. God bless you. At this time, we're going to have, hallelujah, our back door technician. My God, those that work behind the scenes is even going to be maybe both Pastor Tory and Brother Rob for further correspondence and information and announcements. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We just bless God and praise God for the word that has gone out this evening, the ministry of dentistry. And I just bless God to see, and I got to go here, I'm sorry. Now y'all see what I meant last night when I said there's a difference between talent and anointing. Only anointing can go get a tooth repaired and come out with the word from the Lord. I'm just trying to tell you. We bless God for the word that has gone forth this evening. And if you out there listening were one that gave your life to Christ, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, it's okay. Bless God. That is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting with the Daughters of Ruth and its host, Reverend Maureen Lee, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Know that we love you with the love of Christ. Reverend Aaron, wonderful word from the Lord this evening. The ministry is back in your hands.
Praise the Lord. That was fast. I thought you guys was had some other stuff in there. But praise the Lord. I had missed something. I didn't know if I was going to add it. But as Pastor Chappie was talking, I thought about it because there is something called an abscess. And anyone who's had it, they might have seen. You see it, and it looks like the mouth is swollen, it's inflamed, it's soft and sore to the touch, and a lot of times it comes and it fills up with pus. Yeah, I didn't want to talk about it because it's kind of grossing me out even thinking about it. But the tooth may appear healthy on the outside. There's no showing cavities. But what often happens with the abscess is that some decay has happened on the inside of the tooth, or an infection has gone below the gum line and has gotten into the root canal and the blood vessels of the tooth, and it can't get out because there's no hole in the tooth. There's no cavity in the tooth, and it comes out through the gum, my God. And usually when they have it, it's because what's inside the tooth has become infected. I looked this one up because what's inside the tooth becomes infected, and the growth or the abscess protrudes out at the gum. So what they have to do is go in the tooth again and perform a root canal because the decay is on the inside. Some of us are struggling. We don't do outward things. We ain't sinning. We ain't fornicating. We ain't committing adultery. We not doing no. We not running around. We ain't drinkers. We not fighters. We not doing all this crazy stuff that we do see people doing. But we understand and we see that there's something on the inside of us that keeps coming out. Maybe it's anger. What is that thing that keeps showing its head up in your life? You have no other symptoms. No, but it's that one thing. And you've come to the point where you have accepted it as normal. I'm here to tell you that that thing's not normal. And God wants you to get rid of it because it's abscess. It's an infection. And that infection is called sin. And that sin has become a stronghold in your mind. Because you're now to the point where you think that when God wants to take it from me, or if God wants to take, will take it, he'll take it when he's ready. I want to tell you, God's ready right now. If you would confess that thing, I can't hear you, but God can hear you. I don't know who you are, but God knows who you are. And if you confess that thing, he'll remove it from you right now tonight. But don't do like I did in the past and go and test to see if you were free or not. My God. DTW Ministries doesn't come back on the air until next month. Actually, our next broadcast is November the 12th, right here on Purpose Kingdom Network Blog Talk Radio. There are archives all year. I don't know how far past they go back, but I was speaking to Bishop, a friend of mine. He was asking about, can he listen to broadcasts from before? You can listen. You can go all the way back from the beginning of this year. We have broadcasts. I believe that DTW has been on Purpose Kingdom at least, if not two, at least 3 years that we go, that we've been moving forward in God. And you can listen to the archives at any time. Maybe when you're driving down the street, you can, you know, log on Blog Talk Radio and listen to, you know, Purpose Kingdom. And as Pastor Chappie said, that there are other ministries. We have ministry 7 days a week. But if you're looking to listen to the archives from DTW, just look for Blog Talk Radio / Purpose Kingdom, and either look up and find my picture. My name is Reverend Aaron Williams, or look up DTW Ministries, and you can pull up as many archives that you want, and you can listen to them at your leisure. We're excited about what God is continuing to do. I had a friend of mine ask me, when's your next album coming out? When's your next project? And I'm actually sitting at the table looking across from two songs that I finished at the beginning of the month. And they're already typed out, and they're just sitting there waiting. I know that the musician that I work with, this is their season. It's coming in the Christmas season, so I know he's busy. But we're working. The Lord is still waking me up, giving me songs in the middle of the night. You know, sometimes in the middle while I'm working, you know, and so almost never when I'm trying to get a song. They always seem to come when I'm not even thinking about music. But I thank God for how he does what he does. And I just pray that I become better attentive, and that my ear becomes more in tune with what he's saying and singing at times, that I can write down and record on my phone what he wants, you know, out, what sound he wants out. Some William McDowell said that there's a sound, and I believe that it is. I hear it too. So I thank God. Thank God for you, listeners. You know, this has been the 1024th episode of Purpose Kingdom. Thank you so much for tuning in. Like I said, that we'll be back on the air on the 12th. You know, my hours have changed, so you know, I'm getting used to that and acclimated to these new hours. So we'll definitely have something for you on our next broadcast. You know, and until that time, God bless you. Again, God bless you. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in us as it is in heaven. Give us this day, God, our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
for thine the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great night. God bless you.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.